Casual conversation, that's great.
Is there any way you can get out of the light?
Testing.
Yeah, as I walk around, I might be.
All right, our next speaker is Steve Basaraba. He's going to be talking to us about our mighty God.
I'd like to read the text itself that the whole setting is taking place in. And the verse before it is obviously Isaiah 9:5. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. That doesn't sound very pleasant, does it? Sounds like a lot what's going on right now in our world. Now let's go to our verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We need a heroic God, a mighty God. The word almighty, omna, all potent, omnipotent means all powerful. Can do anything. And it reminded me of this last week when, or almost 2 weeks ago when the shooting took place. There was a little boy in one of the classes, I don't know if he heard this or not. He said, "Follow me, I know karate." And that's really exemplary of a hero. And I love the verse that Mike said that Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." What kind of God does it take to overcome the world? An all-powerful God. You know, the gospel was actually given in Genesis 3:15. It's called the promised seed text of the Bible where the Lord is speaking or God is speaking to the serpent saying, there will be enmity between you and the woman. The seeds will go back and forth fighting. Your seed and her seed, which is remarkable because a woman doesn't have the seed, but we can see the virgin birth there. And so from the very first part of the Bible, Genesis 3:15, the Bible tells us that the serpent's head will be crushed and that the woman's seed, which we know is Jesus, only his heel would be bruised. I don't know about you, but if I'm in a battle, I don't want my head crushed. Okay? So we can see right off the get-go that there was a promise given. And now we hear in Isaiah, which I'd say would be about 1,000 years later, maybe more. I know Isaiah is approximately 1,500 years prior to Christ. So the Bible is full of the promise in the beginning and in Isaiah. And of course, we know what happens about Christmas time. We get the Son. The Son is given. You know, a son is usually born, but in this case, the Son is given. I mean, the gospel is so amazing. Isaiah talks about the Son given. And God talks about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I don't want anybody to think that that God is a weak God, that Jesus Christ is the little baby in the manger, and that's how he wants to be seen. Listen, what is laying in the manger is God Almighty. That's pretty remarkable. God Almighty suckling the breast of the mother. God Almighty being held. God Almighty going to the temple at 12. God Almighty dealing with the Pharisees, fighting the war constantly. "Get behind me, Satan," he would say even to Peter as Peter was making some false accusations. That's God Almighty. Why does he have to be mighty? For one, he had to be tempted in all manner. I don't know about you, but I don't think I've ever been tempted in all manner. And I think I might go 10 seconds without sinning. But Jesus Christ was tempted just like us without sin. Only an almighty God could do that, not fall to sin. The thing that makes God so mighty to me is not that he has all the power, but he doesn't always use all the power. You know, my son Jack, I'll see him I'll see him tomorrow, but man, he loves to wrestle with Poppy. And you know, I pick him up and I just slam him down. No, I don't. I pick him up and I pretend to slam him down, but he thinks, man, I am just dropping him, you know. The great thing about God is that he chooses contrast to show really who he is. I'd like to read something out of Luke. It's very beautiful. The word mighty in Job Job is the oldest book in the Old Testament. Behold, God is mighty and despises not any. He is mighty in strength and in wisdom. And like I said, the contrast that God, in all his might, does not despise us, the lowly, because we are low. I want to read you what Mary said about her view of Jesus. It's called the Magnifica of Mary. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away." Our almighty God chose a simple place in the world. He chose the most simplest forms of entering into the world. The first ones to recognize us were the most disgraced people, the shepherds. Everything he did confounded the wise. And even today, everything he does confounds the wise. And our almighty God has come to us as a son, but has demonstrated his great love in that not only did he not fall to temptation, he bore our sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Now, I don't know if you can comprehend that. But if you do, you're probably going to get saved. He who was rich became poor. But yet he can do anything. He has power to do anything. But he's chose to be poor. He chose to take our sin. And I marvel at the thought. I can only think that in this society where we need heroes, and everybody's begging for superheroes. I mean, the shows are everywhere. I've never seen a superhero movie, and I'm not against that stuff. I'm not, because it reveals some redemptive value. There's a hero. There's somebody that sees it. We used to have John Wayne and Dudley Do-Right, but you know, now they have Spider-Man, and I'm not against that, because the world is crying out for a hero. But the greatest demonstration of his power, and Paul said this, that I might know the fellowship of his suffering and the power of his resurrection. They asked for a sign from Jesus. They said, "Show us a sign. Show us a sign." Jesus said, "This is the sign you can look at. Look at Jonah in the belly of the whale." And of course, we know what he's talking about. The sign that Jesus was saying, "You watched me come out of that grave after 3 days." If that's not power, there is none. And I can say this, that when I think about Christmas, I think about the Son is given. Almighty God came down in the form of a man and became a servant, became obedient unto death, died for us. That is the gospel. And for us to get up here and not consider that part of it, it would behoove us as Christians to just relish the fact God sent his son to save the world. And so, God, we bow our hearts before you this morning. If anybody here does not know you, Lord, that they can truly know that you are